Welcome to our Sunday morning service at Grace Fellowship of Georgetown. You just missed our exciting dance number, but there's a 15-second clip on Facebook you can catch right now. Glory to God, the Duntima children dancing with finesse. And we're here today we're experiencing already the presence of God. The love of God's moved in here today. And it just makes me want to just sit with all of you all day and just talk about Jesus. Amen. But we're going to get in the Word. We're still going to talk about Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 16. We'll pick it up where we left off last week with just a little bit of review. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And let's go straight to verse number 18. It says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now, last week we talked about the rock being the rock of revelation knowledge, being able to receive heavenly downloads. Amen. It's what sets you apart, really, from any other religion. One of the main things is you get to hear from heaven. Amen. God speaks to you here. The Holy Spirit is in you. You're the temple of God now. And God's building the church on your ability to hear His instructions, to be led of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, you don't need to turn there. Says, "They which are led of the Spirit are the weos, are mature sons of God." In other words, you learn to hear from God at such a level, God's ready to turn over the family business to you. And God's building His church on our ability to hear Him. And one of the things we're hearing in these end days is a whole, flow of prophetic statements about these end times. We're in the middle right now, whether you know it or not, of end-time prophecies being fulfilled. Things are in alignment. Things are being established. I mean, just Isaiah 45 talking about God's going to raise up a King Cyrus, whom He did over 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago. But now He's raising up President number 45, another type of Cyrus that will bless Israel and release the captives. All fulfillment of prophecy in the Word. Amen? And so, He said, I'm going to build my church on this rock. And then He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell. And there's been a lot of, discussion over the past 2,000 years. What are the gates of hell? And for the most part, we always imagine those gates being these spiritual fortifications that are surrounding the church or else surrounding the devil and all he has. That we're going to either take down his gates or he can't take down our gates. What I'm getting at is when I was first saved, they taught me that we were the ones hiding behind gates. And the devil was pounding our gates. But it says they're the gates of hell. We're really supposed to be taking the offensive against his gates, right? And it says through this church, through the church is hearing him, that's learned to access the rock of revelation, those gates that the enemy's hiding behind will not prevail. But we're discovering now those gates have physical manifestation in the earth. Amen. And we talked last week about the visions that have been given to several key figures in Christianity, how there are seven mind-molding mountains in the world that the devil endeavors to hold. Remember the seven mountains? I want to draw those up here again because it just helps us understand where I'm going. Seven mind-molding mountains. You know what the biggest challenge of this is, don't you? Getting seven mountains to fit on the board. Well, I'm going to do it. Ta-da. And those mountains are named. One was the church. One mountain is named the family. One mountain are the arts and entertainment. One mountain is named the financial system. There's the government system. Right? There are the media. And the last one is education. These all represent seven areas of human operation in any nation and inner structure. And what's been, what the Lord told Bill Bright and others is that the enemy endeavors to hold the top of these mountains. And whoever holds the top of these mountains determine the mindset and the direction of a nation. You know, one of the amazing things to me is when I was raised in school a few years ago, we knew capitalism was good and communism was bad. Socialism being a subset of communism, really, or a precursor to it. We knew that. And we knew, even those that had any teaching on it, knew it was biblical to be a capitalist. Amen. God's not a socialist. He's a capitalist. Those that will put forth effort receive more than those that don't. That's the heart of capitalism. But now in the schools, they've been teaching socialism for so long, there's a whole generation that's come up that a large percentage of them believe socialism is the preferred method of government. What happened? The enemy's been holding that mountain of education, using it to mold the minds of future generations. Amen. And so we've discovered, we went through these last week, that what the enemy does is he places gates across the top of each mountain. That require compromise, selling out, or downright demonic operation to move beyond those gates to operate in the upper levels of those mountains. Amen. And if you're a Christian or a conservative, you try to move above to the top of those mountains, you're going to, in many cases, be shut down or highly limited in what you can do. Right? So those are the gates of hell. And I believe God is intending in these end times to take those gates off their hinges. Amen. Destroy them. Just like he destroyed Nehushta. Remember Nehushta? The brass serpent on the pole that at one time was a source of healing, but later became a source of religious worship. And Hezekiah took it down and destroyed it because people were looking at the wrong thing. What I'm saying is God doesn't just sit. He doesn't just take things out of the way. He destroys it. Amen. And so, in the vision, there was an eighth mountain that they saw coming down and crushing these other seven. But guess what? The Bible says Jesus is not coming back until the devil's under the feet of his body, under the feet of his church, the feet of his people, right? So for this mountain to come down, it's coming down through us. God's not just going to wave some, you know, magic hand and all of a sudden things shift. He's going to anoint his people to trample on the enemy. And what we discovered, just to explain it further, God has, working in the marketplace today, kings of the marketplace. People he's anointed to be marketplace leaders, not just marketplace, but leaders in the secular arena. Heads of government, heads of the media, heads of arts and entertainment. God's preparing them. Amen. How many know the word says we're both kings and priests before our God? And he's also got priests functioning in the, how can I say, spiritual arena. They're both spiritual and both equal, but one's operating in the realm of intercession, prayer, teaching the body of Christ, that are training the body of Christ. The kings are going to attack the mountains from beneath. The priests are attacking from above. And anybody that studied warfare knows you want to get your enemy between two fronts. That's exactly what God is doing. I mean, President Trump himself, we talked about last week, is a gate jumper. He just jumped from one arena all the way to the top of a mountain. Glory to God. And is looking to strip in the government system regarding America, and really it's affecting the world. This has become a worldwide event to expose corruption throughout. God's plan is to totally cleanse the top of that mountain of corruption. In fact, His plan is to cleanse the top of every one of those mountains of corruption. And He's going to do it. And as we look through Scripture, we see it over and over and over again. God's bringing an end time move to shut down the powers of darkness. Amen. Gross darkness may fill the earth, but God's glory is going to rise upon thee. Amen. And expose the darkness. And in many cases, eradicate it. So we're bombarding the gates from above as far as spiritually. And if you're involved in a secular arena, your assignment is to bombard it as well from beneath. To refuse to back down and hide your Christianity. I mean, if homosexuals can come out of the closet, certainly Christians should stay out of it. Certainly we should be vocal about who we are and what we believe, amen, and who is in us and what He can do in their lives. So we have the enemy right now being hammered from two fronts, and they're doing everything they can to hold on to the top of these mountains, at least in the United States. I'm seeing some posts from Ghana. You know, I have a lot of friends in Ghana. And now they've passed government edicts. A nation is considered 90% Christian, were the numbers I'd heard in the past, that are now pushing fairness ordinance laws, fairness type laws in Ghana. And the people are having a conniption over it, which they should. But guess what? The government gets the top of the mountain. He does everything he can to hold that power and keep it away from those that would represent Jesus. And so, God intends to bring this move. And again, we see it all through the Scripture. If I can look at it again this morning. Go to Revelation. Chapter 17. And I'm not going to teach in depth on this, I don't think I know enough to teach in depth of it. I'm not sure anybody does at this point in time. But I want to go down to verse number, let's see. Why didn't I write that verse down? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 9, even have it highlighted and didn't see it. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. It's talking about in his passage the great harlot, the great whore, as King James calls it. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. It says, talking about in Revelation, an end time book, that there will be a great harlot take power that will oversee kings that sits on seven mountains. Now, it could be these seven mountains. It may not be. I'm not even sure this passage is a direct reflection of this, but I certainly think there are comparisons we can make. Is that the enemy wants to control seven mountains, all seven of them. Amen? And I want to back up to verse number 1 and read through this passage and show you what God has in mind for this one that sits on the seven mountains. Now understand, I believe with the events we're about to read in Revelation 17 are after the rapture, so we'll be gone. Amen? But just because the church is gone doesn't mean the enemy's not going to try to take those seven mountains again. Verse number 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, most theologians or commentaries all agree the many waters represent the multitudes of people. Remember, as the waters cover the sea, representing the multitudes, same thing here. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, all a vision that God's given the Apostle John, or a visitation. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones. In other words, great wealth surround her. Having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, the mother harlots, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered in admiration. Now, we'll read on here in just a minute. Here is a vision of a great harlot surrounded by great wealth that looks to destroy the people of God. Even talks about the saints of Jesus. So this is not just talking about Israel, it's talking about the saints. And she sets in great power, and she's called Mystery Babylon. And of course, this is something, since I've been saved, I've been studying, asking God about, researching, reading commentaries. And there's much discussion about what this great whore is. Amen? Now, if you go to, I believe, the last verse in the chapter, verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So, 35 years ago when I'm studying this, a great number of the commentaries said the great whore is the Catholic Church. Have you heard that before? Because Rome is surrounded by seven mountains, she sits on that, and at one time the Vatican ruled over much of the earth. Amen. And still does today to some level. Amen. And there's no doubt that the Pope is not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In fact, is attacking the things of Christianity. And so they say the great whore is the Catholic Church, and that was proclaimed all over the place. Well, I really don't believe that anymore, and that's really starting to fall aside as far as what many people believe. Others said the great whore is the spirit of religion. Now, I can believe this. The spirit of religion that counterfeits a true move of God, that counterfeits true Christianity, and instead puts on a facade and tries to appease people and please people versus lead them into the glory. Amen. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. This could very well be the truth, but it calls for a great city. Amen. In other words, a gathering of people assimilated together. So understand the word city could even be a representation. Others said, well, the great whore represents Islam. Walid Shubat talks about the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim. If you read his book on it, it's very convincing with the scriptural proofs of that. Amen. Including in Daniel where it says he has no regard for women. Amen. So it could be the great whore is Islam. Others say it's America. She's made the world drunk with her fornication. You know, America is a great, great Christian country founded in a belief in God. But there's also no doubt America's become a sludge pit of filth being poured out of several of these seven mountains. I mean, the stuff coming out of Hollywood now is ridiculous. The influence the American government's had in the past to authenticate, how can I say, perversion has been ridiculous, and it's affected many nations in the world. And of course, we are the financial leader of the world, the wealthiest nation in the world. And here we see the great whore surrounded by wealth. It could be America. Amen. Also, it could be the Rothschilds. Do you know who the Rothschilds are? They control the money supply of the world. They're not tied to any nation. They're tied to money. And understand, America doesn't own its wealth. It's just printed paper. There's nothing to back it up. And it's all borrowed from the treasury, which is connected to the Rothschilds. And they're worldwide. And they actually control nations financially. And it calls her a mystery Babylon, right? She's not known. Now, understand, many of these we could say are mystery Babylon because when John got this revelation, there was no Catholic Church. So then it would have been a mystery. There was no Islam. Islam's only 1,000 years old or so. Amen. So that would have been a mystery. How about America? I mean, it wasn't even discovered until 500 years ago. Another mystery, could be a mystery. And the Rothschilds, even more so, because I asked how many people know who they are now, and most don't even know. They're controlling the world's money supply, but they stay hidden and undercover. Could be they're the mystery. Another guess might be the Illuminati, which if you're following any conspiracy theories, and I'm torn between the Illuminati. I believe there's a demonati, the Satanatis. You follow me? But many believe there's a group called the Illuminati of world representatives that are trying to produce a one world government, shut out Christianity, destroy any mention of God in the world, and they're using finances and power to do that. And perhaps because nobody knows who they are, maybe they're the mystery. Amen. But at the same time, it says the mystery is a great city. So here's another theory. And again, this is not an uncommon theory, but it's one that could hold some truth in it. New York City is known as one of the, how can I say, most non-conservative places in the world, especially in America. It's a financial powerhouse for the world. Remember the World Trade Centers? One of the wealth strongholds of the world. And it is the location of the United Nations, which there's a gathering of representatives from each of these nations that, again, there's a move in the United Nations to, again, produce a one-world government. Amen. The United Nations is not on America's side. Amen. They're about as anti-American as you can get, yet it's been tolerated. Amen. And so if you were to go ahead and read chapter 18 of Revelation, it talks about a day of the Lord that comes and the great city is destroyed, representing potentially the great whore. And it says people stood afar off, out in the seas, and watched their destruction. It says, and the destruction came in an hour. In an hour, the great city was destroyed. And they wept over their loss of merchandising. And many believe that there'll be a nuclear bomb set off in New York City that will have devastating effects worldwide of the financial system. Amen. And of United Nations operations. Could be. I don't know. I don't know who the great whore is. But I know she's against God. She's against the church. And in this passage it says she is destroyed. So she, if we were to read on, I don't want to for the sake of time. But it says she weakens the nations. And there'll be some that will rebel against her, but that she will be brought down before it's finished. Amen. Go to Isaiah chapter 47. We mentioned Isaiah 45, right? And I know we're getting off track just a hair, but it fits. Remember, she sat on seven mountains? That's our connector. Isaiah 45 is believed to be a prophecy about the great whore 700 years before she came on the scene, or before John got the vision of her, right? It says in Isaiah 47, verse 1, and what I want you to see out of this, what I'm after you seeing is, when I'm talking about God bringing a great move, a great inversion, he's never going to come up short. Here's a prophecy about the fall of this great whore, this great harlot. Again, I believe this fall will be during the tribulation. But God's got a further move he's going to bring before the rapture to elevate his bride to glory status, amen, and harvest the earth. But read what happens here. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. There it is. Remember Babylon the Great? Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for there shall no more be thou shall no more be called tender and delicate. In other words, she's going to be exposed. Amen. Is not some sweet young virgin girl. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks and bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. God here says, I'm going to expose you to the world. Now, whether you know it or not, there's an exposing taking place right now of the corruption in our government system. And it's about to go, can I say it, quantum, nuclear. Attorney General Bill Barr and others are putting together evidence of the corruption that's been taking place over the past, really, 3 years and even before, of an attempted coup against the president that's not being reported by most of the networks, hardly any of the media. And when that report comes out, there will be nakedness exposed of politicians all around. And what they've got with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden will be a drop in the bucket compared to what's going to come forth. If it comes out. If the saints will pray and the covers are stripped away, and the enemy cannot take down or get these leaders to compromise. Amen. Pray that our president and those that are with him are not assassinated. Amen. Don't decide all of a sudden to commit suicide. Amen. As like 50-something of Hillary's friends have decided to do. Amen. Pray their protection because they're involved in uncovering the nakedness of this corrupt system. And there are going to be people on both sides totally caught up in it. Amen. Including, as we're seeing now, including Mitt Romney. See you, bye. Verse number 4. And God says, I'll take vengeance. Verse 3, he says, I'll take vengeance. He's fed up. It sounds a lot like the Kent Christmas prophecy we saw a couple years ago. Remember that one? I'm still ready for that to be manifested. I believe it's of God. I'm ready for the manifestation. Verse 4, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. What's the Lord of hosts mean? And what does it represent? The end times. When we read the Lord of hosts, he's talking about the Lord of armies, and it's talking about the end time move where God's armies rise up, and we're officers in that army. The Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, talking about the great harlot. For thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. I was wroth with my people, I've polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy upon the ancient. Thou was very heavy laid thy yoke. In other words, God said, my people, because of their sin, they opened doors to darkness and darkness came in, but you had no mercy on them. You tried to destroy them. You laid on them a heavy yoke. He goes on and he says, Verse 7, And thou sayest, I will be a lady forever. That's what the enemy wants. That's what the devil wants. He wants power forever. He knows if he can keep the prophecies of the end times from manifesting, he holds on to the earth. Aren't you glad we serve a but God? Amen. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst thou remember the latter end of it. Therefore we hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, thou sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. In other words, the enemy thinks he's got it. He controls the gates. He thinks there's nothing we can do. And the Lord's saying, you're mistaken. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for that great abundance of thine enchantments. God says, in one day, I believe it's the day of the Lord, these things are coming down. At least it's one of the days of the Lord. He's bringing her down. For thou wast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou wast said, none seeth me. Uh-oh. See, the mystery, Babylon stays hidden as much as possible. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou wast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. And he goes on through the rest of the chapter talking about you'll be a stubble. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be totally eradicated. God never loses. And the bigger they rise up against God, the harder they fall, and the more corruption is exposed. You know, I find it interesting. It keeps talking about this harlot having a golden cup full of abominations. And I'm going to speak to you this, just for a little bit here, about some of the things I'm hearing that I believe, are true, that had you told me 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have believed, but now I believe they're true. That to get to the top of some of these mountains, you've got to so compromise truth and integrity and purity that you become as corrupt can be. And one of the things that are demonstrating the corruption are the revelations that are coming out through Epstein. That he had a plane, they would recruit young girls for world leaders and influential men to get on the plane and go to his island and have relations with young girls. Some very, very young. And they've turned up bodies on his island where some of them didn't come back. Why? Because it's a necessary step to turn yourself over to darkness, to be able to be promoted into some of these mountaintops operations. Amen. Now, I don't know the truth of this. I've seen it reported several times. But one thing they would even do is drink blood is part of it, which is part of a satanic operation. And this is totally satanic. And the blood they want is the blood of young girls who are frightened, extremely frightened before they take the blood, because it pours adrenaline into the blood, which is what they want. So it will terrorize young girls, and at the height of their terror, take their blood to be drunk. Could be, I don't know. I know this sounds ridiculous, and 10 years ago I probably wouldn't have believed it, but now we're seeing things taking place and being buried. How much are you hearing about Epstein in the news now? I'll bet the president hadn't forgot about it. It's being investigated. It's not being reported upon. Here's another one. This nation is dominated by a few key principalities. One of those is the god Moloch, the demon power, who feeds on, his strength is fueled by the sacrifice of babies. And he's the author behind, am I taking you too far this morning? He's the author behind the abortion movement in America and in the world. And the more babies are sacrificed, the stronger he gets, the more he's fueled. And it's been declared that when we shut down abortion in the nation, and even the regions we do, it's going to starve him of what he needs to hold power. And allow things then to be exposed and released. I'm not trying to sound like some conspiracy, you know, flake. I'm just telling you, the wickedness that's about to be revealed is way beyond what we thought. Amen? And by the way, I don't believe the earth is flat. And I don't believe they're spraying compounds in the air to mess with our minds. And the Bible's the same as it's always been. If you've heard some of that stuff going out there. I'm not a conspiracy type guy. But I do know the enemy has launched every tool he has. He's used every tool he has to produce perversion and corruption in the world. And the great whore had a golden cup full of it. See, there's a direct tie between the flow of money in the world and giving into these abominations. Amen. The enemy will fund. The enemy will fund those who will sell out to truth and rise up against God. So here we have these individuals who have given themselves over to the demonic. You know, are you guys aware how much Hitler was into the demonic? You don't hear it reported. We just hear about the evils of Hitler. Hitler sought satanic power to control the world. He was majorly into sorcery, into drugs. One of the reasons the German army started off so strong but then fizzled is they were powered by amphetamines. Germany discovered amphetamines back in the late 20s or early 30s and poured them into their entire populace. And the German army was tireless starting out because they were living on speed. It was given out to their troops like candy. But the problem is the speed after a while drains you of your own energies, and they were burning out. But here's another aspect. Do you ever wonder how Auschwitz took place? You know, the Holocaust took place, and the evils of the German troops were, you know, so rampant. Another aspect of amphetamines is it destroys your ability to feel emotions, empathy. And Satan was behind all of it. And Hitler sold out Hitler. Hitler sold out Germany to Satanism. And if you study it, you'll find that he was trying to conjure demonic spirits to help him in the war. He was doing it. But guess what happened to Hitler? In a day, poof. It's over. And so the enemy currently, for the most part, holds these seven mountains. But the word says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Not just in the tribulation. The church is gone for the most part during the tribulation. Amen. At least the revivalist church. The gates of hell won't prevail against the bride of Christ. That's learning to bombard the gates of hell from both directions. Kings below, priests above, in intercession, and in action. To bring forth a revival move like the world's never seen. How do you think we get gross darkness talked about in Isaiah 60? Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee, for darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. How do you get that? See, gross darkness, darkness is just the absence of light. You know, if you go in that coffee shop closet in there, shut the door, plug the cracks, it's going to be dark. Why no light? But gross darkness doesn't mean the absence of light. It means a demonic cloud. A thick cloud of demonic sludge that no matter whether people are shining a little light or not, people can't see. And the glory of God is the only thing God's provided to cut through gross darkness. You know, again, I've got a lot of tools in my shop, and I've got a lot of tools to cut steel, you know, saws, hacksaws, power saws. But sometimes I'll come across some hard steel, some stainless or some other hardened steel, and I'll try to cut it with my normal saws, and it just bends all the teeth. You follow me? I got to find something else to cut through there. So I have some grinders. They'll even take some time, but cut through some of the hardened steels. And I've got a torch that cuts through any of it. If there's enough heat, the metal gives way. What I'm getting at is, for these end times, the darkness has reached a level. Only the glory of God coming on the saints of God will penetrate the darkness and allow us to strip these evils off of these mountaintops. So that's why God's raising up different types of churches with different assignments. Do you follow me? And this church is assigned to raise up marketplace leaders and to manifest the glory of God. Our assignment are to train the kings, anoint the kings, work in conjunction with the kings, and to train the priests and the intercessors to manifest God's end time glory, both sets, to deactivate the operations of gross darkness in the world. Am I going too far out there for you this morning? So that's why, you know, you may not see 1,000 people in here right now. If you close your eyes, you can see it. Amen. God needs special forces, some SEAL team members. He needs some green berets, whatever, those that will go before, that receive advanced training, special testing, to manifest what an averaged, multitude-minded Christian is not going to manifest. Not initially. To be forerunners to start operating or advancing on these mountains. You know, it's the desire of every pastor to want to run a huge church because it represents you're successful. And every pastor, if they don't have a huge church, fight that battle to some level. And I've been to God with it many times. And what I keep getting is, your assignment is to provide advanced training. Teach them to go out. Teach them to use the tools and the gifts and anointings. Teach them to know the anointings. But to provide advanced training for a group of people that will be forerunners in the glory. Well, see, if you were to ask me, do you want a huge church that's just kind of getting along, learning to walk in niceness, and they just survive life and hold on to their Christianity? Would you want that, or would you want some people that are highly trained and highly equipped and highly armed to go and actually take out the enemy? Oh, I'd choose number two. And that's why we do what we do. You know, we get told, well, your church is just too hard. Try Hell Week with the Navy SEALs. 5 days, no sleep, right? Oh, glory. Hey, that 3-day fast doesn't sound so bad, does it? God's raising up a group to advance on these seven mountains. Charles, how long have I been going? That's exactly what I thought. Plus or minus 10. Well, actually, minus 10. Thank you, Jesus. So listen. The church, the anointed church, understand, remember, we're gateways. This was started this. We're gateways. We're gateways for illumination of the people to see. Now I'm going to come back to that one in just a minute. We, as we manifest the glory, are the only power that can strip away gross darkness and let people see. You know, here's the one I don't understand. Here's one I don't understand. There are many Christians out there that say they're still going to vote for Democratic candidates. Christians. Well, you just don't understand. Trump's an evil man. And he puts stuff on Twitter all the time that aren't nice. In fact, I'm hearing about Governor Bevin. He's not nice enough too now. From Christians. So let's see. You've got a president who's stated and is taking steps to wipe out abortion, and a governor. Right? A governor that's taking steps to put the Bible back in the schools. He's shut down every abortion clinic. He's taking steps to shut down every abortion clinic in Kentucky but one, and it's on the way out. He's been behind passing a heartbeat bill in Kentucky. Amen. In fact, you look at it, he's taken conservative or godly step after step to advance this state, as well as our president, to advance the nation. President on the verge of exposing the wickedness of the corrupt system. Anti-abortion, pro-Bible, anointed by biblical leaders, declared born again by Franklin Graham and others. Amen. Spirit-filled now. I'm hearing that city's Spirit-filled. Thank you, Jesus. And yet Christians say, I'm not voting for him. So you're going to vote for somebody that wants to kill babies, has no American flags. You saw the post lately. There are more American flags on the moon than have appeared in every Democratic debate put together so far. Because they're one world government people. They're socialists. Hate Christians. They've all openly said if a church comes out and they won't, if they speak against homosexuality, they're going to strip away their tax-exempt status. Anti-God, anti-Bible, and you're going to vote for them because you don't like the Twitters. You know what that is? That is a result of gross darkness. Now, they would say we're deluded. We would vote for such an evil man. But see, I have a platform to go by. I don't go by whether they seem sweet or not. I go by what's the platform they're standing and supporting. Pro-Bible, pro-Christian, anti-abortion. You follow me? We go all the way through this. What's the platform? That should reflect on who they are as far as a candidate. Versus we want to pass laws that allow abortion even after birth. We have that in America now. They're saying we should let the baby be born and put it in a room and let the parents decide if they want to keep it or not. If not, we'll kill it. This is being voiced publicly now. And yet people say, I'll vote for that. That is a result of gross darkness. And only a remnant, revivalist, bride-oriented church, group of believers, can manifest the anointing to strip away that darkness. That's why it says when the glory comes, your sons and daughters shall come from far. And we always thought they'll come from far away. You know, like maybe Sadieville. Corinth. Long way away, right? With God, distance isn't always a physical statement. They will come from far away from God. They may have worn them a pink hat in the past, declared themselves a nasty woman. But when the darkness is stripped away, they'll become a daughter in Christ. Amen. Maybe the guy was wearing a dress and high heels and everything that went with it. But when the glory hits and the delusion is stripped away, they'll become a son. Amen. And probably change their clothes. Amen. God's looking for a remnant body that won't compromise with the world, won't compromise the word, won't compromise with their holiness, won't compromise with their hunger for God, and God's going to use them to turn things in this nation and in the world right side up. You become a gross darkness stripper. That didn't sound right. Amen. Stripper away of gross darkness. I knew it was coming out of my mouth. It didn't have the right ring to it. Amen. Patty and I have our Camry. She drove this morning. And yesterday I got up and I walked outside to put something in the car, I think it was. And the windshield was just filthy looking on the outside. And, you know, we've been driving and it rained on it. You'd think that'd wash it away. It didn't do it. We tried that washer thing, you know, squirts the water, just kind of skims over it. You know what I'm talking about? Like it just made it worse. Accumulated road film, bug guts, and everything else. And I said, I've got to get that off of there. So I walked in the garage. I got some glass cleaner, some heavy-duty glass cleaner, sprayed it on, took me a cloth, and just wiped it off. Just sprayed it on, rubbed it off. And the windshield looks spotless. What I'm getting at is there's some things that normal operations and normal functions won't strip away. Some clouding, some discoloration, and the gross darkness turns things black. And we need a heavy-duty cleaner to take it off. And only the glory of God is designed to strip away that film. Amen. God told the Laodicean church, He says, you're blind and you don't know it. You need to anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Jesus talked about in all the parables of the sower. They have eyes to see, but they do not see. Ears to hear, but they don't understand. What happened? There's a haze, demonically initiated haze, covering their eyes. But you've been willing to stay in the Word and pray. You've been willing to fast. You've been willing to sow. You've been willing to tithe. Tithing, what does it do? Opens windows of heaven that you may see. And now you see. So now you can take steps to manifest even more the power of God to allow others to see. So one of our assignments is to bring illumination for the people to see. The second aspect we're a gateway for is illumination of the deeds of the wicked. See, once we manifest glory for people to see, what are they going to see? The nakedness of those around them, of the wicked around them, of the systems around them. I don't understand today why people don't see it. Did you ever ask, why don't they see this? Why don't they see this? Well, the haze over their eyes or over their mind won't permit them to see it. And everything's filtered by their presuppositions, by their predetermined, you know, mindsets to not see. But when it's stripped away by the anointing, now they'll see the wickedness they were putting their trust in. Amen. Then watch there be a godly vengeance want to rise up in people. We expose the deeds of darkness. We provide protection for our leaders. Not just the president, but all of our representatives, our pastors, the kings in our church. In fact, every one of us are under a covering. A Spirit of God initiated covering that keeps you from so many challenges. Whether you know it or not, people are praying for you. Thank you, Jesus. Yesterday I won't call it a close call because God's got my back. But they're doing construction in Frankfurt where they're grinding up the roads to put down new asphalt. And I pull up to where I normally come out and it's a stop sign. And they've got cones up and they've got every other lane ground up. And it looks like everybody's in the far two lanes. So there's finally a clearing where I can pull out to the middle. You get ready. I go to pull out and realize as I get up there, a car zips right by in front of me. Just right there. And I realize the car I thought was the middle lane is now one of the traveling lanes. And the car had gotten over into that lane. And I mean, it wasn't close or nothing. I had 3 feet or so. But there the car went by and I'm going, thank you, Jesus, for angels and people praying for me. Because he could have messed up my bike. Where'd I go? And I just painted it front fender. Thank you, Jesus. Protection for each of us. The church, you as an intercessor or a gateway for angelic protection, angelic operation in the lives of each of us. We don't realize how much angels are involved in our daily life. Amen? And we're gateways for them to move. It's said there are angels all around us, waiting for commands. That everybody has angels around them. They're waiting for somebody to speak the word, to speak with authority, and they'll go to operation. And there's demons waiting around for you to do something stupid or say something stupid. And intercessors, even if they don't know what they're praying because they're praying in the Spirit, are releasing angels to go on assignment. You're going, korabasandabakarabasi, and angels, ch-ch-ch-ch. Understand those God-initiated orders and go to work on our behalf. Oh, I'm running out of time for some of this. Another thing that the church is a gateway for is for atmospheric domination. We control who dominates the atmosphere, the soul realm atmosphere around us. That's a whole other message, right? That as you praise God, as you worship God, as you speak the word, God's presence fills the realm around you. Not just in your head, but all around you. And those that come into that arena that you're in are influenced by that anointing, by that presence of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen? Where the determining factors is God's gateway for that. We release the anointings into the earth. We release the glory of God into the earth. Pastor Callahan, back, was this at the homecoming or later, had God come to him and tell him that the sole goal of Christianity, that was at the Intercessor Conference, is to walk in love. We're to be endeavoring to walk in love. But I'm telling you right now, unless you're moving in toward Jesus at a high level, you're not going to do that. You're going to walk in human love, not in supernatural love. But the Lord gave him a list of things that intercessors are to pray to strip away the darkness from people's lives, to manifest the end-time glory of God. So I want to read you this list real quick because I'm running out of time. Number one, we pray. It's how to pray for the lost. Number one, pray that God softens their hearts, that they want to receive truth. I was reading in that Imagine Heaven book last night of a woman that was Jewish, and she had a near-death experience and went to heaven. In fact, God showed her heaven and hell. Jesus did. And she knew that she was going to have to go back. Otherwise, she would end up in hell. And he showed it to her to give her advance warning. And she said she felt so much love she'd never known before. She didn't want to leave. She wanted to cling to Jesus, but she knew he would have to reject her because she had rejected him. And when she came back to earth, she shared this story. She shared how much love there was and how she never had anything like it, how it was so clear and obvious. But she says, I'm a Jew. I cannot reconcile that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And according to the book, it sounds like we're still rejecting what she had an encounter with. Her heart wasn't softened enough. She wasn't ready to receive something that ran contrary to her lifelong teaching, which is something else we run up against, isn't it? Well, people speaking in tongues is of the devil. What verse is that? Amen. You know, I ran the bars for years. I never went to the bars any time. Never, never, never. When I ordered a beer and I heard somebody over on the side going, Bora aquí la labasón do bolshi. If speaking in tongues was the devil, I'd have heard it in the places I ran. Yeah. Amen. There'd have been somebody speaking in tongues around me. Give me another hit of that. Shiki alabasondo. Number two, pray that their spiritual blindness be removed. We've been talking about that, right? Number three, pray that they receive a revelation of the truth, an encounter with God, a heavenly download, right? The rock of revelation. Number four, pray that they repent. Number five, pray for workers to go into the harvest field. These are the things as gateways we're to be decreeing into the world and into the nation. We're the gates. Amen. Next time we're going to talk about how we're also standing on the towers. We'll get there eventually, right? Unless great breaking news happens in the next 2 weeks, then we'll see what happens. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank in his church there are none sick, none in lack, none in fear, none doubting what you're doing in these end times, none in oppressed or in anxiety, none in strife, stress, or unforgiveness. Each member walking in the fullness of your love, the fullness of your anointing, endeavoring to go deeper with you than they've ever been. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Be blessed in here. Be blessed in there. Let's glorify God with all we say and do. Amen. If you need special prayer, you are welcome to come up. I'd be glad to pray with you.